that we are in a race also during this time. Shall we bow as we go to God in prayer? Our dear and our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Your dear Son who came to this earth, who went to a cross and died for our sins. And we ask as we study this lesson that we'll remember what He has done, how He endured, and we would ask for Thy help so that we might endure the things of this life. For we pray this all in Christ's dear name. Amen. Throughout our lives, we will lay emphasis on being steadfast or enduring in our faith. The warnings against developing an unbelief in Hebrews 3, 12 through 13, some of these scriptures I'll get to in a little bit. The need for faith that endures in Hebrews 6, 11 and 12, and 10, 36 and 39. In chapter 11, we are reminded of many who had this kind of faith. This emphasis continues with our own life of faith as a race, in which we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. In Hebrews 12 and 1, the cloud of witnesses refers to those I've mentioned in the previous chapter, chapter 11, which we'll be hitting in a couple of minutes. And these are the Old Testament saints. Like Abel, verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, and did by this he was approved as a righteous man, because God approved his gift. Even though he is dead, he still speaks through this. Noah, in verse 7, and by faith, Noah, after being warned about what was not yet seen, in reverence, built an ark and delivered his family. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes to faith. In like manner, Abraham, verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went out to the place he was going to receive as an inheritance. He went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed as a foreigner in the land of promise, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, co-heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations where Christ, the architect and builder, is God. And look at Moses. Moses, after he was born, was hidden by his parents for 3 months because they saw the child was beautiful. And they didn't fear the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and chose to suffer with the people of God rather than to enjoy the short-lived pleasures of sin. For he considered reproach for the sake of the Messiah to be greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, since his attention was on the reward. We have these people. They suffered. They did their thing by faith. They endured. They are witnesses to us, to encourage us. And I know we're talking to a lot of the usual ones here, but this is to encourage you this lesson, or I hope it does. The word also can refer to that here witnesses that bear the witness, these that bear witness, they are bearing witness for us. By their lives, they were born witnesses to the value of faith. Hebrews 11, 1 through 40, through this whole chapter of chapter 11 of Hebrews, is all of the faithful, all the ones that God lists for an example, showing what they were able to do and encouraging us to do the same thing. By their extraordinary lives, they encourage us in running the race of faith. We can use this lesson either as enduring the race of enduring faith or running the race of faith. We're doing both. We're enduring and we're also in a race. We're in a race for that home above. We need to lay some things aside. Note the comparison to running. The runner that seeks to win. As he as much weight as possible without hurting his performance. He loses weight, but he doesn't lose too much, because it will affect his performance. He'll get weak and not be able to do it. He wears clothing that is light with freedom to move. He doesn't put a heavy coat on. You don't see him in a sweatshirt. You don't see him in sweatpants. They're in a pair of shorts and a tank top. They're shoes. They're not running around in logger boots or heavy shoes. Those shoes are light. If you've ever picked a pair of those shoes up and looked at them, you'll realize how light those shoes are. They do not weigh much at all. They're very light. The excess weight, chafing clothing, elect, could be the difference between victory or defeat. Our choice. Do we want to keep the weights on? The things that drag us down and lose? Or do we want to lighten those things and give them up? Every weight. Things which slow us down. Our spiritual progress, such as carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. Luke 21, verses 34 and 36. Be on your guard such that your minds are not dulled from carousing, drunkenness, and worries of this life, or that the day will come unexpectedly, like a trap will come on all who live on the face of the whole earth. But be alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. We need to get rid of these things. Someday we're going to stand in the judgment seat of God. And if we don't take care of some of these things, it will not be good for us. Such things also: anger, wrath, malice, blaspheming, and filthy language. Colossians 1 and 8. But now you also put away the following: anger, wrath, malice, and filthy language from your mouth. We're told by Paul about this. Also, 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2. And he says to put these things away, to desire the pure milk of the word. Not desiring these other things, but desire the pure work and the pure milk of the word of God. Some things are running the race of faith. Some things make running the race of faith difficult, if not impossible. The sins which are so easily ensnaring us. Like it reads, the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking he can get hold of. Any and all sin need to be laid aside. We are warned against unbelief in Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, verses 12 through 14. Watch out, brothers, so that those who be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that departs from the living God, but encourage each other daily while it is still called today, so that none of you are hardened sin, deception. For we have become companions of the Messiah if we hold firmly until the end of the reality that we have at the start. We encourage right here to keep going on. When one no longer believes, the race is lost. If you quit believing in Christ and you quit believing that there's nothing for you, then you've completely lost the race. And I'll get to this scripture in a little bit. Hebrews 10, 36 to 39. With full assurance of faith and with every hindrance laid aside, we can run the race of faith as God intended. But as we comprehend the true nature of the course set before us, we can appreciate the need for the elements of endurance. If we look what's at the end of the road, we can endure. We need to endure. We want to be with God. We must take up the faith and we must keep enduring. We need to have this endurance. The race of faith is a marathon, not a sprint. It does not require one quick spurt of energy in which the race is soon over. It's not like the 50-yard dash. It's not like a 100-yard dash where you run it real fast and you're through. It is an endurance. It's like the triathlon. Many miles on a bicycle, many miles to swim, many miles to run. We have all those. It's not like that quick 100-yard dash. It takes time. It's not something that we do in a rush and we're all done. We have to keep on going on, keep pushing on, keep doing the things that we should do. In the parable of the sower in Luke 8 and 12, we talk about the sower and he throws the seeds. Some fall on the rocky side, never have any root. Talk about the ones that fall on the small little earth and they come up and they're soon scorched. Talk about the ones that fall in the thorns. You're soon choked out. You talk about the ones that fall in the good earth. And we need to be the ones that fall in the good earth. We need to gain root. Not gain a little bit of root for a little bit and then gone. We need that root to sink deep. Absorb the water and grow. In preparing the disciples to a limited commission in Matthew 10 and 22, he tells them, you're going to have to endure. There's going to be a lot of things happen. And you're going to have to endure them. He does the same thing in preparing the disciples for a limited commission. And this in Matthew 24 and 13 is just before, a couple of three chapters, just before he has the Lord's Supper, introduces it, and then he goes on a trial. And he's beaten. And he goes to a cross. And he endures all this. But he warns the disciples whenever you're preaching or when you're doing, there's a lot of things that's going to happen. A lot of things you're going to endure. And he warns them to be faithful. The writer to the Hebrews addressed the virtues early. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter. In verse 11 through 15. Now, we want each of you to demonstrate the same diligence for the final realization of your hope, so that you won't become lazy, but imitators of those who inherit the promise. Through faith and prevalence, inherit the promise. For when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no greater to swear by, he swore by himself, I will most certainly bless you, and I will greatly multiply you. And so after waiting patiently, Abraham obtained the promise. He says, I'm going to give you this land. This is the promised land. Did he receive that promised land while he was still alive? No, but his descendants did. He inherited it. And now in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, 30 through 39. For you need endurance, so that after you have done God's will, you may save what was promised. For in yet a little while, the coming one will come not and delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And are destroyed, but those who have faith and obtain life. We don't draw back. We push on. We keep that faith. I know we all have problems, but we'll get to that in a minute. We can develop such patience with the help of the Scriptures, Romans 15 and 4. For if whatsoever was written in the past was written for our instructions, so that we might have hope through endurance, through encouragement from the Scriptures. These things that were written before, it's Some of the things I've already brought up in chapter 11 of Hebrews. They were written for our encouragement. These were able to do this. You keep on. You keep enduring. We read of the ultimate end of these perseverant in the faithfulness. Paul wrote, eternal life would be given to those by patient, continuous in doing good, seek for glory, honor, immortality, Romans 2 and 7. Therefore, endurance is required for successful running. This race is of faith. Equally important is where we have our minds focused as we run the race. We're going to be talking about that a little bit now. Where is your mind focused? Is your mind focused on the things of God? Or is your mind focused on the things of this world? It's your choice. And you have to make it. I could not make it for you. The only one I could make the choice for is myself. And that's the only one you can make your choice for. And we need to focus on Jesus. And that's who our focus is to be. Our focus must be on the Lord as we run the race. We must we might glance at others, like in Hebrews 11, but maybe those of the world. But we are to gaze upon the Lord, Savior, from the Believer's Study Bible. Suggestions to this formula for spiritual success. If you want to be distressed or de-stressed, look within. I know myself. I can have some problems sometimes. All I have to do is look at myself. Maybe I'll look at something back when or something. Oh, well, I didn't probably do like I should have done. What's the need? That's not the way to do it. Don't look within, because you're going to have problems. If you want to be defeated, look back. Look back at your life. Look back at your friends. Look back at all the things of the world. And then turn and go back into them. You'll get defeated real quick. If you want to be distracted, look all around you. There's a lot of things to be distracted from. Going fishing, going someplace with your friends. A lot of other things. All you got to do is look around. You can find lots of things to do, lots of ways to go. It's not going to do you any good if you're not looking at Jesus. If you want to be dismayed, look ahead. Dream on. If you want to be delivered, look up. Colossians, the third chapter, and verses 1 and 2. So if you have been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above, where the Messiah is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on what is above and not what is on the earth. So don't look around. Look above. Look where Christ is, where God is. Then you can be delivered. But if you're not looking there, if you're looking in the wrong place, you're not going to be delivered. Is Jesus the author and the finisher of the faith? Hebrews 2 and 10. For it was fitting in bringing many sons to glory that he, for the whom and through whom all things exist, should make the source of their salvation perfect through suffering. Christ suffered. Christ endured. Now sits at the right hand of God. And someday, that's where we want to be, is with God. We are going to have to endure. He has opened in Hebrews, the 6th chapter, 19 through 20. As a forerunner, he has entered the heavenly sanctuary. We have this hope like a sure and a firm anchor of the soul that enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Jesus has entered there on our behalf as a forerunner because he has become a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. He's already gone there. He's already entered. He's the forerunner. Without him, we have no hope. He has opened a new and a living way, Hebrews 10 and 20, and he has helped us to finish it ourselves, Hebrews 7 and 25. He succeeded in running the race by looking at the joy set before him. What was the joy set before him? That he was going to be raised from the dead, he was going to ascend, and he will be on the throne next to God. His reward. The joy that inspires us was likely that privilege of being seated at God's right hand, Psalms 16, 9, and 11. With the anticipation of such joy, Jesus endured the cross and the physical pain. If you think about how he was nailed to the cross, how he was beaten, wore a crown of thorns, the pain that he went through, and he went through it for you and me. Despise the shame, the emotion, and spiritual agony, just as Jesus looked at the joy set before him, so he must look, so we must look to Jesus. No one else for us to look by. We must consider him. We must consider how he endured not only the cross, but even before the cross. How he endured such hostility from sinners against himself. The hostility is something he experienced frequently. We got a whole bunch from Luke. Luke 4, 28 and 29, they wanted to get him. They wanted to push him off a cliff. They wanted to get rid of him. They didn't like what he said. Chapter 11, 15 through 16, they tried to get him and trap him and kill him then. They wanted to get rid of him. They didn't like what he said. Verses 53 and 54, the same thing. Anything to get rid of him. They asked him. They told him he was preaching by Beelzebub, the devil, and a whole bunch of other things. 16:14. There again, they're after him again. They want to trap him. And he endured all this. And he endured it for us. And we need to endure ourselves. Meditating upon the Lord will prevent us from becoming weary and discouraged in our souls. We cannot run the endurance if we become weary and discouraged. Let me tell you, that is probably what is getting a lot of people. They come weary, and the big thing probably is they become discouraged, and they don't want to hold out any longer. So they quit running the race. But we are considered the Lord and His example in itself. A form of waiting upon the Lord, we shall not grow weary. Isaiah 40 and 31. But those who trust in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not faint. This is way back in the Old Testament. In Isaiah, talking to the Israelites. In conclusion, we are running a race of faith. It requires both negative and positive elements. Negative, problem sometimes. We must lay aside